Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe. And from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm Gary Holt. Joining me in Santa Clarita, California, is our lovely co-host, Bobby Jean Bell. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning, Gary. Welcome to Campfire Cafe, the show that the DJs get to control.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's pretty cool. We get to do what we want to and have who we want and play what we want. So that's pretty neat. And for our audience, we were just talking about that before we went live with our first guest today. But we have a fun show and a lot of great information, a lot of great music, and it's going to be fun. So tell us who we have joining us today.
Sure. This morning, our first guest is Rusty Rearson, and then our second guest for the second half of the show are Zoe Brooks and Sherry Ray Goose, and they'll be talking about Bitless Bridles.
All right. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and Rusty is up in Kansas, and we've got Zoe and Sherry joining us from Canada. So we're just international today, as we are quite often on this show, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We want to remind folks that the Campfire Cafe is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. So grab a cup of coffee, take a deep seat in that saddle, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Rusty Rearson. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world, online at equestrianlegacy.net.
The first time I fell for you, I fell pretty hard. From that old rocking horse out in Granddaddy's yard. Next time I fell for you was at the age of 10. Young enough to swear I'd never do that again. I've got the bruises, I've got the scars. Every time I fall for you, girl, you've got me seeing stars. And my world keeps spinning. This must be how love feels. I'm falling spurs over Stetson and head over heels. Remember that old rodeo, the night you turned 18? You were up in the crowd, smiling down at me. 8 seconds is a lifetime in a wide open space. I rode that frog till I saw you and fell flat on my face. I've got the bruises, I've got the scars. Every time I fall for you, girl, you got me seeing stars. And my world keeps spinning. This must be how love feels. I'm falling spurs over Stetson and head over heels. I've got the bruises and I've got the scars. Every time I fall for you, girl, you've got me seeing stars. And my world keeps spinning. This must be how love feels. I'm falling spurs over Stetson and head over heels. I'm falling spurs over Stetson and
that's Rusty Rearson's great song, Spurs Over Stetson, from his CD, Souvenirs. And we're going to just jump right into one of the most anticipated segments of our show, and that's Bobby Jean's introduction. Bobby, take it away.
Rusty Rearson is a native of South Central Kansas with deep roots in the rural farm lifestyle. At the age of 14, he began singing in church, and music became a lifelong passion. In 2012, Rusty released his single Souvenirs, a project recorded in Nashville with famous producer Richie Owens. The song went number one for 4 straight weeks on Europe's country music chart and held off country superstar Toby Keith to the 2nd position the entire time. He plays venues of all sizes, crisscrossing the U.S. as well as abroad. With a voice that captures your ears, lyrics that touch your heart, and a smile that lights up the arena, Rusty Ryerson is a musician inspired by the traditions of great country music and a heart for today's audience. Please welcome to Campfire Cafe, singer, songwriter, performer, and the voice of Rusty Radio, Rusty Ryerson.
Hey, I love it.
Hey, Rusty.
I gotta say, Bobby, you're hired.
Hey, I'm ready to move. I'll come to Kansas. I'll go wherever I need to.
Oh, gosh. Sounds great. Well, thank you guys for having me on today. Good to be hanging out with you.
Hey, we're delighted to have you, and we really wanted to have you on for quite some time. So I'm glad that worked out for the schedule for you to be with us, and we're really excited to introduce your music and you to a new audience, I think, probably. And that's always fun to do. And, of course, I know we've got a lot of your fans that are listening today as well. But for our folks that are not as familiar with Rusty, tell us a little bit about your background. She mentioned you grew up in Kansas, but talk to us a little bit about your growing up and when you first became interested in music.
Well, I grew up on a ranch just east of Wichita, I guess is the big town, about 30 miles right in the edge of the Flint Hills, a cattle ranch. And I remember country music, you know, mom and dad playing vinyl records. Probably that's one of the first things I remember, you know. Dad had an old Dove Gibson guitar, and he played John Denver and Johnny Cash, and he could only play 3 or 4 songs. But that was really exciting for me and my sister growing up. And I wanted to play guitar when I was really young, but it just didn't quite work out. Ended up taking some piano lessons instead. But definitely developed, and I got into my early teens and started to fall in love with it again, and did get a guitar and started playing in church. And my dad really helped me get started with that and stuff, and just kept on, you know. And started recording some country, and then doors started opening up, and so here we are.
Well, now you have a degree in agriculture, don't you?
Yeah, I went to K-State, and I got a bachelor's in econ. And then I tell you, Gary, I was afraid to get a real job, so I just decided to go on and get a master's. And that really is kind of true. it's kind of like, you know, you get done, and you're like, now what? And so decided to go on, and I had a good program, a good advisor, and got through it. My career kind of opened up as soon as I started grad school, and so there were a lot of nights I'd be getting home, you know, at 3 a.m., then I have to go do the chores out at the farm, and then go to bed for a couple hours, and then get back up at 6 and go out and check the barns again before the advisor got there, you know, so... So it was tough being touring and being in school, but made it through.
Right. Well, that's great. That's great. Well, now you're a pretty young fella. So, I mean, how quickly did you decide after you got your master's, or maybe it was even before, that music was what you wanted to do and pursue?
Well, it's always been what I've wanted, I think, ever since I first learned guitar. And I was, you know, 14 or 15. But the reality of that, you know, I knew that it wouldn't pay the bills. I mean, when I first started, I knew that.
Right.
But by the time I hit grad school, I mean, the first semester, it was paying the bills. And so I never did have to go and get a job. I just kind of got out of school and continued music. And so I was really blessed with that, you know, that I could get a good job if I wanted, but I didn't have to, you know, and so that was a blessing.
Well, that's pretty cool. And of course, if you don't get yourself in a position where you have to go into a lot of debt and that type of thing, then you can pursue your dreams without the financial difficulty, I think, that sometimes people face. But that's pretty neat. Now, Bobby likes to talk to folks about their writing. And we're going to try to get as much music in as we can during this half hour. And the next song we're going to do is one called I Just Miss You. But Bobby, you want to talk to Rusty about his writing process and this song?
I do. I do really enjoy that, Rusty, when a performer is able to share a little bit about the songwriting process. And I know you record a lot of your own songs. Can you tell us a little something about your songwriting process?
Well, I don't write probably as much as I should, but it's something to where I'm really touched, either very, very heartbroken, or really excited and happy about something. To really get, that stirred up inside of me, and to be able to pull a George Jones song out, that's tough. But that song, I just went through a breakup, and I was driving all the way back to Kansas and crying the whole way, and wrote that song, and I wrote it the same way that Don Williams would have wrote it. I wrote it something for him, as though, if he would have wanted to record it. And the cool thing about I Just Miss You is I did get a chance to play it for him at his house,
and
he closed his eyes and listened to it. And we got done with the song, and the first thing he said was, "Would you play that again?" And that meant a lot,
Yeah.
So.
Well, this is a great song. Let's go ahead and listen to that, and then we'll come back and talk more with Rusty. And Bobby Jean's just dying to ask some more questions out there. So we're gonna get right to that. But let's listen to "I Just Miss You" by Rusty Ryerson on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
You and me talked, we took a long walk down the old dirt road. We laughed and we cried, we thought of old times, about a love grown hard and cold. We were honest and open, no words were unspoken, talking about me and you. And when it was over, you cried on my shoulder, we knew what we had to do. But now I really miss having someone to kiss, loving arms to hold me tight. I miss your face, your tender embrace, holding me all through the night. I miss your eyes, your thought still reminds of little things we used to do. But most of all, baby, well, I just miss you. Girl, if I know you, you're missing me too, your tears falling painfully. But don't you give in, this isn't the end, God's got a plan for you and for me. So I gotta move on, gotta be strong, let my poor heart mend for a while. And maybe on down the line, when you cross my mind, I can think of you and smile. But now I really miss having someone to kiss, loving arms to hold me tight. I miss your face, your tender embrace, holding me all through the night. I miss your eyes, your thought still reminds of little things we used to do. But most of all, baby, well, I just miss you. Yeah, most of all, baby, well, I just miss you.
I Just Miss You by Rusty Ryerson, and a great song, Rusty, and I was really feeling sorry for you while I was listening to that. I could feel that heartbreak.
Yeah.
Well, that's one that I really am proud of, you know, and so, and I'm not proud of all the stuff I do, but I love the double rhyme scheme of that. And those that kind of songs are really hard to write when each line rhymes with itself in the next line.
Right.
But yeah, thank you for playing that one.
Yeah, it's a great song. Bobby Jane, you had some questions you had that you were dying to ask.
Well, I had a lot of fun watching videos and things last night, and you were interviewed by one really fun guy on a very short video, I think, at a Kansas festival. But he asked you a great question. He said, if you could sit with any three musicians, who would they be? And I thought your answer was wonderful, but I also wanted you to tell us why those three. Do you remember?
Okay. I can't remember what musicians I said, but probably Don Williams and George Strait and Alan Jackson or something.
Yep.
Was that what I said?
Yep. Can you tell us a little bit about why those three?
Well, George Strait and Alan Jackson were a couple of my favorites. I think that the generation before me, if they could pick two country singers, it would be Merle Haggard and George Jones. But in my generation, the two that I pick, you know, that are current would be Alan Jackson and George Strait. Part of the reason is because they are, they're pure country. What they do is country. And they don't pretend to be something that they're not. And if you don't like them, that's okay. They're not going to change for you. You know, and I love that. They're true to themselves and true to what they love to do. And then Don Williams, because he's my number one hero. I love his voice more than any other artist out there. I really relate to the songs and grew up listening to him and loving him. And I remember there'd be winters me and Dad would be out feeding cows and it was 10 degrees below. And we listened to Don Williams in the old feed truck, you know. And so those memories are with me. And I love his music and always will.
Well, right. Those are three good ones. You know, one of the things that I have found out about you is that you are very strong in your faith. And you have a great, great gospel CD that's out. And how has your faith impacted your life and your performances?
Well, you know, growing up in church and you know, learning how to play all the praise and worship songs, and that's something that we always try to include in the shows. We like to do at least one song or two, you know. And the guys that I travel with are great Christian guys too. I don't have to worry about a lot of the things that most bands go through, you know. They've got level heads and they do what's right, and there's not a whole lot of drama so as far as that goes, because they're not running around and getting drunk and all that, you know. But I want my music to be about God. I want it to be positive. I don't care to get too much into all the party scene, you know, with what's going on with current country radio and stuff. I want my music to be wholesome and something that you could play in church if you wanted to, you know. And so I guess that's it. My faith will help me to keep my music on a moral ground, you know.
Oh, that's
something
great.
That you never
that's
have
great.
To be embarrassed about.
That's great. Well, this is one great song from that CD that we want to play right now. It's one that's called When Mama Prayed. And I just want to mention this song was written by the great Paul Overstreet, another good friend of ours, Rory Feek, and his wife, Joey. And they're the team, Rory and Joey, is going through some cancer treatment, and our prayers go out to them. But I thought this song was appropriate. And let's listen to this from Rusty's gospel CD, When Mama Prayed, and we'll be right back to talk more with Rusty and Bobby on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Daddy never went to church. church on Sunday. He said, that's one thing I'll never do. But Mama never gave up, she said one day he'll be sitting here beside me and you. I can still hear my mom softly talking, her tears falling on her folded hands. So that Easter Sunday when Daddy walked in, well, that's when I began to understand. And when Mama prayed, good things happened. When Mama prayed, lives were changed. Not much more than 5 foot tall, but mountains big and small crumbled all the way when Mama prayed. Seventeen and wild, I hit the bottle, doing anything I dang well pleased. Burning down life's highway at full throttle, while Mama burned a candle on her knees. Then one night I came home half sober, and I saw Mama kneeling in the den. As I listened, she and Jesus talked it over, and I knew my restless days were about to end. That's when Mama prayed, good things happened. Mama prayed, lives were changed. Not much more than 5 foot tall, but mountains big and small crumbled all the way when Mama prayed. It isn't like every one of them got answered, but the times they weren't, it seemed to me. Felt sorry for the devil, 'cause heaven knows he didn't have a prayer. When Mama prayed, not much more than 5 foot tall, but mountains big and small crumbled all.
Great job. Great job on that song, Rusty. And the entire gospel CD is a great one, as well as the CD souvenirs. And so we're going to talk a little bit more later about where people can find your music and you. But right now, Bobby Jean had a real interesting question that she wanted to ask you.
Rusty, you know, we just talked about a little bit about souvenirs and how well it charted in Europe. And I saw that you played what looked like a really fun festival last year, the Northern Nashville Country Music Festival in Scotland.
yeah, well, we did.
Tell us about that.
It's up by Thurso. That's pretty much as far north as you can go in Scotland, you know, and keep your feet dry. Right there on the northern coast of Scotland. It is beautiful up there. And we got to go early, and so spent 2 days just kind of goofing off and listening to the bands and meeting people. and then had a great show. Let's see, Rodney Foster was there, and he's a guy from Texas, a songwriter, singer. Susie Boggess was there as well. She got the headline at the night that I kind of opened for her, and so yeah, it was a great experience, and I've got some friends over there that are songwriters, and so just got a chance to meet them and hang out and really had a good time. Would love to go back, because Scotland's a place you want to visit again, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure. Was it heavily attended? I mean, I guess, you know, country music is popular around the world. We know that. It's Americana exported. But I was just, you know, how fun.
The Caithness Festival is the largest country music festival in Scotland. And they had it in just a huge barn. And it's not like our big outdoor concerts here in the States, but they had between, you know, probably 1,000 and 1,500 people each night. And some of them are really committed. I mean, they fly in from Ireland. I met one guy, and I couldn't hardly believe it, but he said he wanted to, hear me play. And he flew in from Ireland and spent the weekend.
Wow.
Told me that was the reason he wanted.
Wow.
And that was really cool, because that's not something that we do here in the States. You don't fly to Mexico or Canada to go to a show, you know?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Usually. So
I'm trying anyway, to get a vision. I'm trying to get a vision of you with your cowboy hat and your kilt on. That was
You didn't see that picture, did you?
I did see it. If you got one, share it with me. I'd love to see it.
I did get a picture that's somewhere on Facebook, and my songwriter friend said he's going to write a song called "I'm the Only Scottish Cowboy Here in Texas."
That would be great.
Yeah, but anyway, the kilt is, it's kind of like wearing a tux or something. Pretty difficult to find and tough to buy. A lot of times you just have to rent them. And now they wear the full pant, you know. And so kilts are getting really rare in Scotland.
All right. Well, you'll have to share that picture with us. That'd be cool. You know, another interesting thing about you is you do a cruise, don't you?
Yeah, we went in 2013, took the band, and we went with Princess up to Alaska. And our friends George and Joanne Becker, and a lot of the folks that they work with and stuff, got to go with us, and that was a blast. And then this year we went to the Caribbean, Mexico and Honduras, and we had a great time down there as well.
Well, that is great. And it seems like those type of venues where artists are performing on cruise ships and you know, booking a lot of folks to go along with them for those trips is becoming something that's really popular to do. So I know I tried to get hold of Joanne and I couldn't get her. She was cruising with Rusty, so I had to wait till she got back to talk to her. So anyway, it's great. Hey, talk to us a little bit about this next song we're going to do. It's one called Souvenirs, and it's the title cut from your CD, Souvenirs. Tell us a little bit about this song.
Well, Tom Gaffney wrote. Go ahead.
No, and I was just going to ask too. And how do you go about selecting the songs that you add to one of your albums?
Well, I think quite simply, you just pick the best 10 or 12 songs that you have. And I'm not somebody that, I don't feel like I'm a good enough writer that I could write every song on an album. They're going to end up sounding too similar. You know, and so I'll write, you know, 2 or 3 normally, and then I've got a lot of friends that write, and Richie Owens, the guy that was the producer of Souvenirs record, he's Dolly Parton's first cousin. And
wow.
So there's that connection there. That's a pretty cool connection. And so we ended up doing one of her songs on the album. But he sent me this song that Tom Gaffney had written, and Tom's a writer there in Nashville, and he's done a lot of different things, but he wrote it from real life experience. He did find a trunk that his dad had left and all the stuff from his childhood. And you know, I think that almost every person goes through that at some point in their lives. If it's not a parent, then there's somebody that they're close to, you know. And if you have to go through their things, you realize what's important to them, what meant the most to them, you know. And so it's those memories and those souvenirs And we did chart this song in the U.S., and like you said, it did really well in Europe and kind of opened the doors for me over there.
Well, it is a great song, and let's go ahead and listen to that. It's Souvenirs from the same album title, and we're talking with Rusty Ryerson on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Who'd have thought a year ago, no way we could ever know we'd be sitting here going through Daddy's things. Upstairs he kept a trunk, always said it was full of junk. He'd say never mind when I'd ask what's in there. Thoughts run wild as I turn the key, hands are shaking, hearts skip a beat as I wonder what's inside. There's a purple heart from the war, old brown pictures mama swore she'd thrown away. I guess Daddy said the first dollar he ever made, it was there inside a little frame. It said, big dreams start here. I'm seeing his life clearly through my tears, all his souvenirs. Old love letters mama wrote, blue ribbons from a show, a county fair back in 82. The only tie he ever wore, a newspaper from the corner store, circled in red day I was born. Swallowed hard, it was getting tough going through all his stuff, but I just can't believe my eyes. There's that crayon Christmas card, I remember that I worked so hard to make it right. Yeah, I think I was fine. My baseball trophy, a Cub Scout patch, plastic guns and my cowboy hat I used to wear. Man, he had them there. I'm seeing his life clearly through my tears, all his souvenirs. Well, his life unfolded right in front of me, upstairs down on my knees, and covered at the bottom of his trunk, an envelope that just said, son, well, now that I'm gone, I know that you'll be strong. But take care of your ma for me. Start making your own memories. Trust God and self. True riches are not in wealth. I'm seeing his life clearly through my tears, all his souvenirs. Souvenirs.
Great song, and that's Souvenirs from the CD by the same title, and we're talking with Rusty. And Rusty, our time is getting away from us. Just so much fun talking with you. We wanted to get some more of your music in, but I guess that means we'll have to you come back again.
That'd be great. That'd be great. I want to make sure I send you guys a package with some giveaway stuff for the listeners, and that'd be great. Souvenirs was the last full country album that we did, and then we have a new single out right now called Hey Hey Hello. It should be out on iTunes pretty soon, maybe the next couple weeks.
All right, so, and it's a great song as well.
I tell you, easiest way to find me is just go to my website, rustyryerson.com. You can get all the CDs on there, and I've got the calendar, and there's pictures, and some of my radio shows on there as well, rustyryerson.com.
Okay.
But if you forget that, just remember Rusty R and country music or something. Google can find me pretty easy.
All right.
You have a really fun event coming up this Saturday, Rusty. What's happening on National Day of the Cowboy? Where are you going to be?
Tonganoxie, Kansas, and they have a little theater there. It's just a small little town, but it's kind of a unique setting. Opry House Dinner Theater, and Stephanie Lane's going to be there, so big shout out to her. She's listening. Dale Shields and so many artists from the Western Music Association. And they're going to have a parade, I think a cattle drive through town maybe. And then the High Noon Saloon is going on. There's going to be impersonations and acting going on and all kinds of music. And then kids show, and there's another show about the Old West on Saturday, I think. And then we have the two main music shows in the theater as well. So, and then Cowboy Church on Sunday. So it's going to be quite an event, all hosted by our friend Charlie Green. And so looking forward to that, everything going down in Tonganoxie.
All right. Well, it sounds like a great time, and you're going to have a lot of great artists performing with you. Golly, so many of our friends are going to be there. And, you know, I am pretty sure that our friend Stephanie is listening. And what is her title? She's queen of what?
She's queen of the High Noon Saloon. And let me tell you, she can pull it off. So it's going to be a fun time.
Oh, how fun.
All right, well, that's a lot of fun. And so we're going to remind folks again, if you want to buy Rusty's music, go to rustyryerson.com. You can connect with his radio show from the website there. You can also follow his tour schedule. And Rusty, you're just such a neat guy and so much fun talking with you, and we look forward to having you come back with us again.
And Gary and Bobby, thanks for playing my music. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. So, man, it was a good time. Yeah, I'd love to do it again.
All right, look forward to that, and give a shout out to all of our friends in Kansas this weekend, and we'll have Dale Shields joining us sometime in September, so we look forward to talking with him. So be sure and tell Dale and Stephanie and our other friends Heidi for us.
All right, well, thank you, Gary.
Thank you. And when we come back, we're going to be going to Canada. We're going to be talking with Zoe Brooks and with Sherry Raguth at Neutral Horse, and to bit or not to bit will be the question. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net. And we'll close this segment with Rusty's great song, Hey, Hey, Hello.
seen you before. Next thing I knew, we were hand in hand out on the dancing floor. Hey, hey, hello. I still remember the dance that night. Around in circles, the hours flew by as we laughed and held on tight. Hey, hey, hello. Well, I think I might have seen you before. Next thing I knew, we were hand in hand out on the dancing floor. Hey, hey, hello. I still remember the dance that night. Around in circles, the hours flew by as we laughed.
This half of the Campfire Cafe is made possible by our great sponsors in the General Store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And we are going to try to answer a question today, and that is to bit or not to bit. I guess that's the question. And we're going to welcome to the show now Zoe Brooks and Sherry Ragouf from Neutral Horse in Canada. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Hello.
Hello, and thank you very much, and thank you for inviting us to join you today. And I just have to correct your pronunciation just a tad. That's nurtural, like to nurture something.
Nurtural. Nurtural horse. All nurtural. Right. Well, thanks for that. And people are going to understand why as we go into the show. Well, that's the right way to pronounce that. But Zoe, we visited a little bit yesterday. You're the founder and the owner of Nurtural. I hope I said that right that time. Nurtural Horse.
Yes,
tell us
perfectly.
Tell us a little bit about you and how you got involved and when with horses. And then that's going to kind of proceed into how you developed this bitless bridle system.
Yeah, thanks so much, Gary. It started like probably a lot of people. I grew up with friends having horses and my cousin having horses and loving horses and riding horses whenever I could. So in 1997, I was around 45 and my husband about the same age. We literally traded our house in town for a 500-acre farm about half an hour west of Sudbury, Ontario, where we live.
Wow.
We had never owned a horse before. We'd never done hay before. We literally jumped in at the deep end.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
People said, and of course, the wise people said, go out and get older horses and they'll teach you. But we wanted younger horses that we could grow up with. So, you know, if we'd been practical people, we probably would have never bought the farm in the first place. So we bought young horses and just... It was great, but it wasn't that dream come true that, you know, the little girl imagines when you watch the movies. It
right.
was more, you know, if you turned your back on them, the horses were more apt to run over you. We didn't understand about getting the respect for them, from them. And we got local people in to coach. A nice lady lives down the way. But what she was teaching us when we were trying to ride was, you know, scissor that bit. Teach him he's got to behave. And I remember going for one lesson and being told, you know, you have a temper, use it. Or go around the corner and kick him to canter. There wasn't the understanding with horses that you get when, and finally we discovered natural horsemanship. And
right.
that's really when our world turned around. Not from the books, because the books, I didn't know enough about horses to understand the books. But when you could see what could be done, that's when it made sense.
Well, and so you actually learned by doing and by studying as you went. This was not something that you'd had a lot of experience with. And, I would always suggest getting an older horse that was where it needed to be before you got into it. But that's not the way you went. So,
No, and we've never really regretted our decision because 18 years later, I still have the first horse I bought. So, and I survived the kicks and bruises of the early years. we very much grew up together, but as I got to see more about natural horsemanship, we had a Shetland pony, and I would recommend that to anybody. If you jump in at the deep end, get yourself a horse, get a pony. You can go out and practice those exercises, and I would read the books and watch the videos, go out and practice with the pony, do it over again, watch the books, read the videos, you know, and then once I had it with the pony, you could move it up to the big horses. And we at that time got into raising Canadian horses. They're the National Horse of Canada.
Uh-huh.
We got a gal named Hazel. She was 6 years old. She'd been handled but never trained.
Oh, wow.
So within a few weeks, actually, I could ride her all around in our 500-acre farm in a rope halter. But tradition says put her in a bit and bridle. So my husband put her in a bit and bridle. He came back alive. So the next thing was, okay, we're out riding. You ride her at the bit. And we went to the round pen, and I had the rope halter on over top, and she'd do anything at the touch of the rope. And all I did was pick up the reins to that bit, and she became a totally different horse. Was shaking her head and backing up, and all she wanted to do was get rid of me. And I said, you know, why must I take this step backwards? And a friend of mine had said, there's new things out called bitless bridles. And I said, yeah, Hackamore, they've been around forever. She said, no, they're new things. They're bitless bridles. So I got one of the ones that was on the market at that time. This back in 2005. There were only a couple of them out there.
Right.
And tried it on our horses. It was, you know, just a night and day difference. Suddenly this horse that, you know, didn't want anything to do with the bit in a nice leather bitless bridle, she was good. But there were still some problems with the bridle. It would twist and tangle underneath, and if you went to a big horse to a smaller horse, your lines were too long. So we were very novice horse owners, and what we did is just keep playing around with the design until it worked for our horses of any size. So I'd take out a small horse and my young girl, and she would stick her nose out and say, I don't care what you say, I'm going to go where I want. So I go back to the Mennonites and say, I want something under that nose to make it stay where it's put. And the next time that young horse would go out and I just touch the reins and she would stop. So by shortening this and fiddling with that, and we put a circle X, a thing to hold it steady underneath so that the straps could never twist and tangle. So everything that we ever saw go wrong, we just figured out a way to fix it with the horses, but we have no theory in it whatsoever. And we were very fortunate. We had an opportunity to go down to the Royal Winter Fair in Toronto, and that's a huge show. So we invented the bridles in August. We had sold one in November. We packed up the van. We talked to Henry Brubaker, our Mennonite, and we'd ordered, maybe $3,000 worth of stock. And he said, you know, Zoe, I'm not a bank. And my husband said, don't you worry, Henry. If we don't sell the stock, we'll sell the tractor to pay you. And we went down the first day, we sold three. And we said, oh, my goodness, we'll be able to pay for our stock. And then the next day, people realized what we had, and they actually got somebody to do a demonstration in the arena. And then the excitement just went through the place. That was the most exciting thing they'd ever seen in 30 years.
Oh, wow.
So from there, we had the confidence to move forward and started doing clinics and whatnot. It started a growth of its own with people writing to us and sending emails, and we started doing videos and clinics. Maybe I should let Sherry speak for a moment. I'm running out of breath here.
Well, we want to take just a quick break and come back and talk with Sherry, because we want to find out a little bit about her background and then how she came into the picture with you and your company. And Bobby Jean has a briar horse. I mean, she doesn't have a real horse. We keep trying to get her into real horses. Maybe they'll sell their place in Santa Clarita and get 500 acres back here in Tennessee or something. But
I tried to get Briar to build a nurtural to go on their horses, so that may be in the works soon.
All right.
Wow.
Anyway, We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more with Zoe and with Sherry and with Bobby Jean, because she has studied your website at 3 o'clock this morning. So we're going to find out more about Horse Bridle. And you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. Don't go away, because we're going to talk more about bitless versus bits when we come back.
Born in Virginia, a thoroughbred in Kentucky. Every breed and every color, a beautiful beginning. A medicine man recognized that early bonding changed. It all starts here with a touch, teaching them to trust. They'll understand I'm a friend who will be there till the end. I promise to last through the years, and it all starts here. Trails together, and you can count on me to be your loyal leader. The best is yet to be. And in those times when you're afraid, I'll do what I did that first day. It all starts here with a touch, teaching them to trust, and they'll understand I'm a friend who will be there till the end. I promise to last through the years, and it all starts here.
Kennedy's It All Starts Here, and we're talking with Zoe Brooks and Sherry Ragouth and Bobby Jean Bell, and we're talking about bitless bridles and should you bid or not bid. And Sherry, let's kind of bring you into this conversation. Tell us a little bit about your background with horses and how you got involved with a nurtural horse.
Well, I've been involved with horses since I was 8 years old when my mom bought us a two-year-old Shetland pony. So I highly recommend Shetland ponies, too. We got one that was just the sweetie pie of the century, and we kept him until he died. And all of my kids, both of my kids and all of my sister's kids, had their first ride with him. And I grew up, of course, the minute I got my driver's license, and that was pretty much the end of that. But my mom's had horses all along. I'd always go out and visit with her and ride my horse. And we moved to Ontario, my husband and I and our two kids, as missionaries. And we finally settled in Espanola, Ontario. And I kept, every time I would come from Sudbury to Espanola, I'd watch this house on the right-hand side, this humongous 1925 barn with a beautiful herd of black horses standing around. And I'd think, I really would like to take my youth group there to play with her horses. And so I finally got the courage to stop in one day. I caught the Jerry and Zoe were gone to the Royal Winter Fair, which happens every year in Toronto. And this was 2010. And I stopped in, and the man that was helping there, he told me about it. So I came back the next week and got to talking with Zoe, and she showed me what they did. And I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. And my only experience with a bitless bridle before that was with a regular hackamore. It was a Western hackamore with the rawhide nose band and the long shanks. And I inherited it with a Pony of the Americas mare that we bought. Her name was Wizzy. And she had learned how to flip the shanks up over her nose, which was just as effective as the horse taking the bit in their mouth. And she could pretty much do whatever she wanted until she slowed down and I could get off. So I wasn't all that impressed, but you couldn't put a bit in her mouth or she was a total nutcase. So that was the only one of our horses that ever had an opinion about a bit in her mouth. And we had 13 in the pasture at one time. But I went home from that talking with Zoe about it, and I researched it. And at the time, there was about 6 other bitless bridles on the market. And she needed help in the office, so I was looking at going to work for her. And I wanted to make sure that it was a good product, a quality product. I could already tell she was good people and that, you know, it had to be a good thing. But I wanted it to make sense to me because I'm very what you see is what you get kind of person. And so I did, I looked at them, and this one made the most sense to me. I love the Circle X. It changed the whole game. It's the perfect pressure and release bridle. So I went to work, and that's how we got started.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the bitless bridle and what the difference is and what you've seen, because you guys, you're not afraid to go out to these exhibitions in different places, and people that have been using bits, let them try your bitless bridle. What's the difference? What's the reaction to the horse to bitless versus the bit?
So let me jump in on this really first. I've never done a live challenge, but I've watched all of our videos, and that's why I wanted to jump in first. I think that those challenges where Zoe says, bring us a horse, any horse, and show us what he does in his bit, then we're going to fit him with a bitless bridle, and whatever he did in his bit, he's going to do it again in the bitless bridle, and the audience is going to decide which bridle the horse did better in. And every single one of them, the horse does better. And I just think that is such a powerful tool for showing people. I mean, I can talk all day long and tell you everything about this bridle, but until you see it in action, it's a hard thing to believe in, and it's really worth looking into. Take it away, Zoe.
Oh, those clinics are the most fun in the world. We literally, for 3 years, we went out to the Calgary Stampede, and for 10 days, 3 times a day, they gave us the arena for 30 minutes. And we would just say, bring us a horse, any horse, whatever it does, it will do better. For the first 10 minutes, they always had to do walk to a stop, trot to a stop, canter to a stop, if they cantered, back up, turn, and then it was freestyle. So we would come out of the ring with a shire that jumped, sort of, and then we would turn around and there was a chap there with the cutest little hat and bow tie. He said, can I try the bitless bridle? And I looked down and he had a mini, just the tiniest little mini in a cart beside him. So we'd work with dressage horses in one clinic. We'd do driving horses in the next clinic. We had a chap bring in a horse, a quarter horse that was so green, he could only stop it by pointing it at the wall.
What about the Shire? What about the Shire that was a Briar model?
Oh, he was great. Yeah, when you were talking about Briar horses, yeah, he had never been in it either, and they just sent out two kids. The difference in the horses, and with the one dressage horse, the one corner was so spooky. And every time she went there, she was high-headed and agitated. We took her out of the bit. Now, she was one that went bitless on. She'd been missed for a couple of years now. But we took her out of the bit, put the bitless on, and she went there with her nose right on the ground in a corner you couldn't get her into. That bit about spooking less. The first clinic we ever did was one on driving. Again, remember, my husband and I are not horse people. We'd not been to a clinic. People were saying, you should do a clinic. So we spoke with Sydney, who's a real driving expert, and she said, well, come down, we'll do a clinic together. And we said, aha, that's it. That's what they have to do. They have to walk, stop, back up, turn. What one of the chaps said there is she does everything just as well. What she does so much better is nothing. And that, surprisingly, is a recurring theme. We worked with Moose. Moose was one of the preferred percherons. When we brought him into the arena, the announcer said, are you guys crazy? Yeah. And I think he was trying to set us up for failure because he said, Moose is a, and my husband had come back saying he's a big pussycat. He said, oh yeah, he's a big pussycat in his stall, but you get him in the arena. Then he tells us they had told him that he was out of one of the most aggressive stallions ever and he would never train that horse to do anything in any gear. Yeah. So we brought him in, and I couldn't get close enough to that horse to hand the guy the microphone because he never, ever, ever once stopped moving those big feet until he asked him to stop in the bitless, and he stood like a statue.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
I was, you know, like, do you people see what he's doing? He's doing nothing at all.
Yeah. That happened when Rachel and I took matching bridles to Powassan, and we transitioned a pair of Clydesdales from their bit to their bitless. And both of them would never stand still. It was a constant jingle and a constant chomping and a constant, like, standing in place and just pacing. I mean, if you can imagine standing in place and pacing. But the man who was the handler for the team, he was not interested in us being there, but the owner had been the one who wanted to transition this particular team to bitless. And he bought custom driving bridles. They look just like what you see on the Budweiser Clydesdales, except there was no bit. So we transitioned them. They worked first in their bit, and you could see that the older horse was the leader, and they did their paces in an arena. And the owner was driving them from the ground because the handler didn't want anything to do with us. And yet when we transitioned them over to the bitless and they began to go, all of a sudden this little man, I was trying to keep out of his way because he was agitated, right? He didn't want to mess around with this. All of a sudden he steps up and says, let me show you my favorite part. And I said, whoa, you have a favorite part? And he walked up, he took the reins from the owner, he drove those horses up into a corner, he spun them on a dime, he trotted them around the arena and pulled them to a stop. And he said, and this is my favorite part, they stopped and stood. There was no jingling, they were still. And then he says to me, and did you notice this younger guy has gotten the confidence to be the leader? And I was like, that was so incredible. It was just an incredible moment.
So really,
these clinics are.
I was just going to say
these clinics are such.
Yeah, go ahead, Zoe.
Gee, mine was anticlimactic after all that. just that the clinics are so fun. We come in and we show whatever they can do. So they've got the basics and then freestyle, whether it's turns on the haunches or they're doing rollbacks or cantering figure eights or jumping, whatever they do. And then, you know, we've only got 5 minutes to switch them to the bitless and for them to practice before they have to do everything that they did in the bit over again bitless. So, and it is important to fit them because they work on pressure and release. You have to leave room for the release.
Right.
So Jerry fits them. I go up, look them in the eye, give them a kiss on the nose, and we've never had one fail. You know?
Oh,
it speaks horse language.
Well, and so really what's happening with these horses is that they are becoming more comfortable bitless than they are with a bit in their mouth. And they can relax more, and they're not as concerned perhaps with, you know, horses are flight animals. And they'll resist pressure at a certain point. So with the bitless bridle, that's making the difference how?
The nerves in the mouth, if you looked at a diagram of the nerves in the face and in the mouth, you would be astounded that, like, there's thousands of nerves on their face and in their mouth. And when even the softest bit pushes into the soft palate or even on the tongue, And every horse's mouth and face are different, but the nerve clusters are in the same places. And generally what we find in the research that shows it out is that the pressing on those nerves can create a lot of disorders and even diseases. So that's one of the reasons why you see the horses reacting like that. And my personal theory is that the metal that the bits are being made of possibly is reacting with their saliva, and that might even be causing some of their discomfort too.
Okay.
I the best explanation I heard came from a horse, sort of indirectly. We were talking with a horse communicator in the state of Washington, and she was speaking with a thoroughbred in England who was letting a girl practice, by the way, who was going to go to India, pick up a stallion, and ride across India bitless, which she did. Anyway, the thoroughbred was her practice horse to go bitless, and the horse communicator speaking to the thoroughbred said, when they put that other thing on my face, it's like I have to learn a foreign language, but with this, I understand right away. And and how that conversation came to be, I'm not even going to attempt to comment on, but it does... You know, if you go back to the science, in fact, it does have more pressure points and more consistent pressure points than any other piece of equipment, than any other bitted or bitless bridle, I think, because of the way it's made. And so once the horse knows what you want to do, it's quite happy to do it. And this is a clearer communication.
Okay. And Bobby Jean was studying your website and looking at diagrams and watching videos and, would this work for my briar horse? Will it behave better and be happier? Bobby, you have any questions that you wanted to ask these two ladies?
Well, I guess one is a very simple question, and that is just how do you measure your horse for a proper fit?
Two simple measurements. You go from the top of the pole and you go down to the side of the face where the noseband will ride. And how you decide where the noseband is going to ride is you pinch, because every horse's face is different, you pinch up the nose where the soft nostril is and you find where it goes hard all the way across, and you go about a half inch to an inch above that and you measure around the circumference of the nose after you get that measurement. So it's two measurements, around the nose and from the pole down to where the noseband's going to ride.
Okay. And where do the reins get attached?
The rein straps come through a ring on the nose band, and you attach your reins to that ring.
Right. So it's low. It's very much near the horse's mouth.
It can be, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead, Zoe.
Oh, yeah, it is. And the reins attach close to the horse's mouth, too. And you wouldn't think that would make a difference, but it does. And so having the rein straps, ours have holes right up to the top, so that you can have your rein straps and attach your reins physically very close to the horse's mouth, and that makes a difference. It's like you're steering right from the mouth instead of from the ears. So it's super adjustable, this bridle.
Yes, I get it. By the ears. I am a novice, so I had to look at lots of pictures of like traditional bridles and hackamores, and like what's the difference? And it was really a great study.
And sometimes it doesn't look very different. When we first made it, they were running a series of articles in Horse Canada magazine, and she had done one that was bitless bridles, great things, and the next one she sort of spoofed on it saying the bitless leading the witless, and she had gone out with her bitless bridle, and she couldn't stop her horse, and she couldn't turn her horse. And her conclusion was maybe on a calm day with a buddy on familiar trails, you know, you might try this again. And I sent them a letter saying, please don't give up on bitless. We have a brand new design coming out. So they published my letter. We started getting phone calls. I mean, we were so new. We started getting phone calls before we were even set up as a company or knew the letter had been published. And when she tried ours, she called me up. She said, it doesn't look very different, but it behaves totally differently.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I think maybe that's because it was purely designed by the horses. We didn't know enough to interfere with anything. When we went to that Royal Winter Fair, people walked up and said, you know, show me the pressure points. I'd never heard the word. I said, it's designed out of love, not science. If you want to turn that into pressure points. So they taught us how it worked. But it literally was designed by the horses, just watching what they did.
Right. You say on your website, when you answer the question how it works, that it's pure pressure and release. You want no pressure on the face until you ask for an action and the horse complies, and what you want, you get, and then instant release. And that made sense to me. I just can't imagine having a bit in my mouth. You know, I grew up with braces. That was bad enough. I think if I was a horse, I would definitely want to be bitless.
Yeah. Well, and that is a good response from somebody that is like so many people today that are really just beginning to get into horses and have a lot of questions and you know, looking at understanding how this works. Let's talk just a little bit about how this bitless bridle has changed the relationship between the horse and the rider.
Mm-hmm. I get people calling me all the time that are saying that it's made them a better rider, because when the bit is taken away, like, you know, most of the people find they're trying to solve a problem. And when they decide that going bitless is what they want to do, it takes a mindset change. They have to change their own mind to gain the confidence to do it. And, you know, the horse will catch that vibe. And so, but they tell me later on, this has made me a better rider. I'm lighter. I use my feet more. I use my legs more, which is what they should have done in the first place. But I think you mentioned yesterday that 78% of the people out there nowadays have gotten horses later in their life. They haven't taken lessons. They don't, you know, they just want to enjoy their horse.
Yeah. It's so natural. And the horses, like, one of the stories that amazes me that we hear over and over and over again is people will say, you know, I used to take half an hour to catch my horse, but since I've gone bitless, and it will happen after even the first ride, they're at the gate waiting. We've heard people say, I held up the bitted bridle and the horse turned its head away in avoidance, and then I hold up the bitless and it just puts its head out to take it. And the horses themselves communicate. And they're just, it's just a nicer, it's like phoning up your friend saying, you know, stick this thing in your mouth, let's go to the mall.
Yeah.
You know, it lets you work with the horse instead of forcing it to work for you. And they're so happy to work with you. Most of the time. And then, you know, are you talking a training issue or an equipment issue? So, you're not going to put this bridle on and it's not going to miraculously train your horse for you.
Nope.
It will make it easier for you to train the horse.
There we go.
I had one lady send me a video and she said, you know, that bridle wouldn't stop my horse. And I went to the video. I said, do you know that you said, whoa, 20 times and never once sat back in the saddle and pulled on the reins? So it won't do that for you.
It will help
in that relationship.
Right. So there are different ways to communicate, and just saying, well, it's not going to do it. So that's good. Well, I think it makes a big difference in the relationship between the man and the horse, because a lot of times people are challenged with the reaction to the horse to bits. They, you know, they try different bits, trying to find something that works for their horse. And perhaps maybe they should be looking at your bitless bridle to see if that helps to solve the problems. You know, you told an interesting story the other day when we visited about a jumping competition. Was it in Australia?
Austria.
Austria.
In Austria.
Andreas Gau.
Ah. One of the fans we're proudest of is Kaylin Spooner and Richard Spooner of the American jumping team. I got to meet there. Well, I met both of them out in Calgary at Spruce Meadows and Cristallo, and they use this bridle for working for all the schooling for Cristallo. And then when they go into the ring, Richard still uses the bit on him. But they were at a show in Austria, and there was a gentleman riding there, and he'd had some sort of a problem in round one, or between round one and two with this horse.
Yeah, they heard his mouth.
Between round one and two, Kaylin said, try this, Cristallo likes it. And he rode round two in the Nurtural, having never ridden in it before.
And it was hilarious to listen to the announcer. What's he got on? It looks like he's modified his bridle. Is he using a hackamore?
Yeah, it looks like a hackamore, some sort of light hackamore. And that horse was perfect. And we've done that again at events, go in, and there was a mini pre-course set up, had the rider do it in his bit, come back with the same horse and do it bitless. Horses just understand. It's people that are, you know, you think too much, but if you let the horse do the thinking, I have people phone up sometimes and, you know, this bridle's not releasing. And I said, well, is the horse acting like it's not releasing, or do you think it's not releasing? He said, well, no, the horse is fine. Listen to the horse. It's really subtle. It's different.
Gosh. Well, you, so this bitless bridle works at any level of competition or pleasure use, whatever your discipline is. You can try this bitless bridle and have the same type of results or improve the results that you're getting with your horse by going with your bitless bridle. And, you know, one of the big things is, exposing people to what's available to them and that there might be a different way that might work better for your horse. And it's a challenge to get that out. You have a campaign that started, I think, was it last night, Sherry?
Just a few minutes ago. We hit the launch button just a few minutes ago. Wow. Still have to add the video at the top, but it's going. It's up. It's on Indiegogo, and we have the links on the Facebook page, Nurtural Bitless Bridles. It's so that we can help people, like empower people to look for something different and hopefully change the minds of people who say, we've always done it this way. It's a time in history when everybody wants to get along. And if you're going to have a horse, you really want this dream relationship, like Zoe was talking about, that really motivated her to go into natural horsemanship. And you want to partner up with them. You don't want to have to always be butting heads or forcing them to do things or chasing them around the pasture for an hour to get them to come to you. We have a video on this campaign of Sammy and Lisa. And Lisa's horse, actually, we have a before and an after when he's supposed to put on his bitted bridle and how he expresses his opinion of it. And then we have the after and how he pushes into his Nurtural bitless bridle and loves it and the change in him even when she just rides him around the yard. So that is so big, and that's why we wanted to go with the Indiegogo campaign. We just wanted to be able to get the word out and expose it to more people so that people know there's an option. A lot of people don't even know there's an option.
Right.
And a lot of other people, they keep doing the same thing over and over, and they can't figure out why nothing ever changes for them. And so we want to – go ahead. Go ahead.
We're 10 years old this year, Gary. So it's 10 years since we launched the company. And as I say, it's, you know, we sort of happened to invent a bridle, but – the feedback we get, the smiles we get from people, you know we're making horses happier. With people who say, I can keep my horse, I thought I had to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. One of the first year a chap came into the back to that Royal Winter Fair, he'd gone into his barn and said to this girl, you can't ride other people's horses. It's not somebody else's horse. It's my horse. I took the bit out. So you know, we need just people to think that there is an alternative. And we're going with the crowdfunding because, I think I told you this in the story we were talking yesterday, is that I'm sort of trying to solve a similar problem in another dimension, and Sherry has invested so much and put so much passion and so much care into this, we actually want to transition the company from me to her so that I can invest my time into solving another similar but foolish problem in a more serious situation.
Well, and what will this, Sherry, what will this Indiegogo campaign allow you to do?
We want to be able to do video advertising and placing consistent advertising in places where people are going to, people who are horsey people are going to see it and become aware of it. And then also we're going to do a lot of mainstream type of advertising so that more and more people will be exposed to the idea of going bitless.
That, Sherry, and also we're looking for you know, more dealers. If we get the word out, we need more people to carry them in their tax stores, and Sherry was able to put together some packages to encourage people to do that. And we're working, and we will finish setting up an affiliate program, so anybody who believes in these can just, you know, say, here, use this coupon, and if you're running a therapeutic riding center, or if you're running, you know, a children's teaching camp or whatever, we want to be able to support the people who are doing good things. But
right.
We need help to get that technology structure in place.
Right.
Right. Well, it's an exciting time. It's an exciting opportunity for people to find another option that can help to improve their horse's life and their relationship with their horse. And Bobby Jean just spent a lot of time looking at videos. I did as well. You've got some great video, and it shows the before and after and how horses respond and how their owners respond to that as well. And let's tell folks where they can find your website and, again, how they can find out more about the crowdfunding program and that's just started today and get involved with that to help people and horses.
The first place that we'd like you to go, it's www.nurturalhorse, and it's based on the word nurture, so it's nurturalhorse.com. We'll be updating that website with all the goodies going on over at the campaign. We also have the Facebook page, which is very, very responsive, and it is Nurtural Bitless Bridles. And there's even a link or a button up on the cover picture that says book now, and that would take you straight to the Indiegogo campaign. If you go to Indiegogo.com, you can search for Help Horses, Help People, and that will get you there. And we would love it if everyone would share it with everyone they know. I asked my mother if she would please share it with everyone she knows. And she said, well, yeah, I'll share it with everyone that I know is into horses. And I said, no, Mom, I need you to share it with everyone. I said, you don't know if your neighbor knows somebody who's into horses. And I don't know if my neighbor knows somebody who's into horses. So I'm going to share it everywhere I possibly can so that we can get the word out. Because it's about the bridles, but it's also about showing people a better way. And, I say it's a better way, and I don't mean to offend anyone at all, but I just love the look on the faces. If you guys watch the videos, you see the faces of the horses in their bridles and then see their faces in their bitless bridles. They're so different. They're so open. They're so beautiful.
Well, I can tell that you ladies are not passionate at all about what you're doing to help horses and to help people. And so we're going to encourage folks to go and visit the website and the Facebook page. And if you've never tried going bitless and you think that you'd like to, then this is a good time to do that and find out about helping your horse and a better relationship that you can have as well. And I had one horse that every time she saw me coming with a bridle, she was like, you know, see, catch me if you can, you know, that song, catch me if you can. Yeah. Yeah. So that was the game that we played. So anyway, a lot of great information. And, you know, if you haven't gone bitless and have thought about it or wanted to, or have tried it in the past, then try Nurtural Horses Bitless Bridle. And ladies, you have been so much fun, so informative, and we wish you the best in this crowdfunding campaign, because it's important to get the word out to people that there are other options available for them. And try it, and you just might find yourself happier and your horse as well. So Zoe and Sherry, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having
Thank
us on,
very
Gary.
Much.
Gary, could I add one little thing?
You can.
We have a toll-free number, so that if there are people out there that need questions, that want to ask questions, like if they've gone bitless before and they felt it didn't work for them, if they need to call in with any questions whatsoever, our toll-free number is 877-877-5845, and I would be thrilled to talk it out with them and help them with whatever's going on. We've actually had to help people adjust the way they were interacting with their horse in order for them to see the best results. And it really, it's so phenomenal to watch and to see. So thank
All right.
you.
We encourage people to do that. And again, you can visit their website and get that toll-free number from there and contact them by email or other ways from their website also. So Zoe and Sherry, thank you so much. Look forward to having you back again and catching up to see how the crowdfunding campaign has gone.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
You too. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some exciting events that are coming up and give you some information on those. And we'll be talking more with Bobby Jean and find out what's going on out west. But right now, you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
By the horse that nobody could ride. Then down out of Cheyenne came a quiet and shy man who dared to try something that no man had tried. He sat down in the warm sun, 100 yards away from the horse nobody could ride. Thank you.
That is Kristen Harris and The Horse Nobody Could Ride. And Kristen is going to be at the National Day of the Cowboy in Kansas this weekend as well, along with Mickey Daniel and Susie Knight and Dale Shields and Rusty Ryerson and Stephanie Lane and a slew of other great performers and friends. So we'd encourage you, if you're in that area, to be able to stop by and enjoy that event as well. And we're going to have Kristen on the show with us, in just a couple of weeks, aren't we?
Yes, August 13th, she'll be joining us, and we'll be listening to music from her wonderful new CD, Down the Trail. That'll be great fun, yeah.
It will. She is always so much fun to have on the show, and one of the funniest shows that we've had, and was so much fun when we had Kristen and Devin Dawson on the show, sitting in the pickup truck at the Stockyards down in Fort Worth.
Yeah,
a lot of fun. But anyway, we want to remind folks, last week we had folks from TWHBEA talking about their World Versatility Show, and that starts today at the Miller Coliseum in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. So you can see these young folks out there barrel racing and pole bending and doing dressage and trail classes, and a lot of great things that are taking place now through Saturday at the Miller Coliseum in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And then we're really excited to be helping sponsor the first Tennessee Horse Expo that's taking place October the 16th through the 18th at the Williamson County Ag Expo Center in Franklin, Tennessee. And they're going to have some great clinicians, and Craig Cameron, who's been on the show several times, is going to be there. They'll be having an extreme cowboy competition. And you remember our friend Susan Ingram from Taproot Farm? Susan is going to be there. They're going to be putting on a ranch rodeo one day. That will be their finals for that. And then other great clinicians, and they have vendor space available as well. So that's at the Tennessee Horse Expo at the Williamson County Ag Expo Center in Franklin, Tennessee, coming up about the middle of October. And we'll have them on talking with some of the clinicians between now and then as well. So a lot of exciting things going on in the horse world back here in my state of Tennessee. And, of course, we'd like to know about some of the events that are going on in your part of the country as well, and share information. So you can contact us at equestrianlegacy.net, and we'll be happy to talk about those things for you also. Bobby Jean, one of the busiest ladies in the world, and you've got, is the Out West Concert Series tonight?
It is. We have a great trio called Sidewinder, features a wonderful songwriter, Bruce Huntington, along with Tom Wolverton and Ken Wilcox. And we're really looking forward again to another night of live music in a very intimate setting. And yes, that's tonight. I'll be heading out shortly to start to put that all together for tonight. So tickets, if you're local and you're listening in the LA area, we do have seats available. Give us a call at 661-255-7087 and claim a seat.
There you go. So you always have great entertainment out there as part of your Out West Concert Series. And we look forward to seeing those online after those are ready to go there and share with us. So we want to remind folks about our Legacy Club, and that is a free membership. You can enroll at equestrianlegacy.net. You can receive discounts and special offers from all of our Legacy Club sponsors, as well as our Legacy Select horse campgrounds and guest ranches, and some great riding destinations and vacation destinations for horse people. And you can buy everything through our vendors, our sponsors rather, in the general store. Everything from Western apparel, from Out West, to horse trailers, to horses, to tack, and all types of equipment, and music and art. And you can find it all in the general store at equestrianlegacy.net. And we appreciate the support of our sponsors that advertise with us to make Equestrian Legacy Radio possible. So, Bobby Jean, another fun show. Rusty's just a neat young guy, isn't he?
Absolutely. I think he and Kristen, and I think he said Mickey Daniel will be there this weekend all together. I can just see those three having an awesome time together. That's going to be quite an event.
Well, it will be a lot of fun. So, any final thoughts?
Well, in celebration of National Day of the Cowboy, which is this Saturday, I would encourage you to go online and see what great events might be happening in your neck of the woods. The website is very simple, nationaldayofthecowboy.com. And one of my favorite pages on the website is their code of conduct for cowboys and cowgirls. It's kind of based on the Code of the West and Gene Autry's code and others. And there are 10 great comments to live by. And I'll just give you a couple of them, and then you can go check it out and read all 10. They're excellent. One is, live each day with honesty and courage. Be tough but fair. When you make a promise, keep it. And be willing to stand up for what's right. And go read the rest.
There you go. There you go. Well, we always have fun with you on Thursdays for the Campfire Cafe. And look forward to having you with us every week. And you just bring so much joy to the show and so many good questions. And people said they love to hear that laugh. They tune in for that. So that's pretty cool. But anyway,
we have wonderful guests. And it is a delight to prepare for this show because I'm learning all kinds of things that, you know, I didn't know before. So congratulations. You're doing that for all your listeners.
We're going to get you away from the briar horse into one that really eats. And
probably so.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, listen, we want to thank our audience for joining us today on the Campfire Cafe. We remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. And one of our favorite people over in the U.K., and he listens to the show quite often, is a fellow named Clint Bradley. And we're going to close this segment of our we're going to close the show out today with a great song from his CD, and it's called A Fine Horse. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us next Thursday at noon for the Campfire Cafe on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
There's a dream for sale, but the price is high. There's a dream and me, the juice won't die. When the sun sinks down low in the western sky, I began to dream. I began to cry, and it's calling, calling, and it's calling to me. There's a letter written deep in my soul, I wonder, will it be delivered before I'm too old? Riding a fine horse through new country tonight, and the dream gets stronger as the years hurry by, and it's calling, calling. Yes, it's calling to me. When it's moonlight and shadows, that's my cowboy time. I dream of a life that could never, oh no, never, oh no, never be mine. As I lay my head down on this island of rain, I close my eyes and I'm there again, riding a fine horse through Montana tonight, and the dream will stay with me till the day that I die. And it's calling, calling, yes, it's calling to me, calling, calling, yes, it's calling.